Hallelujah. Good evening. And thank you so much for joining us tonight for another session of our Bible study, our time of ministry in the Word of God. I trust God that you're doing well, enjoying the goodness of the Lord, being blessed and enjoying the season. The Lord is good and His mercies endure forever. We're so thankful for another opportunity to be able to gather together around the Word of God. And I thank you so much for joining. What a blessing and what a privilege that we can all come together around the Word of God again. And we can do this week in and week out faithfully. That's so important. Consistency, really, is the key to a successful Christian walk. Consistency, just like it is the key to everything else that we do in life. Consistency. Dietitians and health experts and fitness experts and all of these people tell us it's not the one time, 2 days when you do everything and you do it all the way to the highest possible level, and then for 2 weeks you are missing in action. That does not get the job done. It is consistency, consistency. It is our consistency in the presence of God, in the Word of God, that builds all the spiritual muscles that we need to develop. Our spiritual exercises that we do to prepare us for that day when we will require grace to be released to us, to help us succeed, to help us overcome challenges of life that come at us, or even to be able to walk in the wisdom of God. I know during the course of some of these services where we've been learning about asking, we've also talked about the place of the wisdom of God. Whatever it is your consistency, folks. It is not, doing it one day, 1 week, and then for a month, we're not there. You read the word one day, maybe a weekend, and you do great, read 3 chapters, and then the next time you come back to the word, it's probably 1 week later or 4 days later. We dissipate that way. This life is about buildings, one building one block on top of the other. That's why even in Genesis, in the creation story, we see how the Lord created. You know, he didn't create one day and then go off for a month and then come back to try to create the next thing. Because if he did that, what he created the first day would have been destroyed. But he built. That's how you build, consistency. So it's a blessing that we can all come together consistently every week around the word. And sometimes we're hearing things that we already know. Sometimes we're hearing things that we've already learned. Sometimes we're hearing things that we've already heard before in the exact same way. Sometimes we're actually even listening to the exact same teaching, just on a different day. It doesn't matter. All of that factors in to our spiritual well-being, to our success. Amen. So I thank you again for joining us tonight. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you so very much for tonight, the opportunity to come around the Word of God. What a blessing. What a freshness we feel, we sense here in the Spirit. What a glory. Lord, thank you that your presence was even here with us before we came together. We're so thankful to you, precious Holy Spirit. I give you full control. I ask you, take absolute preeminence over this service. You do that which pleases you, that which you have ordained, that which you have prepared. God, that which you know is for the benefit of your people. You do that tonight. Loose my tongue. Help me think your thoughts. Connect my mind to the mind of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me utterance. And Lord, give us understanding, every one of us. abilities to remember, ability to comprehend, ability to walk in revelation knowledge. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you again, wherever you're joining us from. We're talking about the seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. This has been such a powerful series of teachings, and I hope you've been blessed as I have been. Lately, we've been talking about asking, and most recently, we started talking about using the power of attorney that is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That new covenant privilege that we have in the place of prayer that the Old Testament saints never had. Amen. When we can come in the name of Jesus. And when we come in the name of Jesus, it is as though Jesus himself is there, present, and he's the one putting the request to the Father. Amen. What a glory. What a glory. In John 14, this was one of the scriptures we used the last time, and I'm going to transition to kind of stay on this particular verse of scripture as we now look at some of these other areas, and tonight we're going to get move this teaching forward with the help of the Holy Spirit and begin to talk about factors that impact our asking. Amen. Amen. And then begin to talk about how to make sure we have good standing so that we're not asking. Yeah, we may be asking aright, but we may not be aright. We may not be standing right. We may not be in a good place to ask. And everything we've talked about so far is been geared towards helping us ask aright. But we also want to talk about, learn about, not just asking aright, but also having good standing when we ask so that our prayers are answered. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, John 14 verse 12, let's start from there. John 14 verse 12 is, verily, verily, this is Lord Jesus Christ speaking. The letters are in red. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatsoever, you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever we ask in the name of Jesus, that will he do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The word ask, like we learned the last time, here being used is the word aiteo. It's the Greek word aiteo. And we have already learned there are three components to this asking when we ask of the Lord. Number one is we articulate our request. You have to articulate our request. Number two, we have to present it confidently. And number three, we have an expectation of a favorable response. Now, the Lord said, whatsoever we shall ask in his name, that he will do. Anything we ask in his name, he will do. And last week, we started to learn about the power of attorney that we engage when we use the name of Jesus. This new covenant privilege is the express access that we have to the throne of the Father. Is the express access that we have. This statement I made last week, I want to read it again. The power of attorney in the name of Jesus when we pray in his name is as though he is there in person and he is the one asking. Asking is in its purest and most powerful form when it is done right and accurately, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself can take on our prayers and offer them to the Father himself. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. That is so powerful that when we pray in the name of Jesus, were using the power of attorney in his name, and he himself can take our prayers and present them to the Father. That is so powerful. That is so awesome. Amen. Now, I'm going to go because I know that we don't have too much time left. Even in this series of teachings, there's still quite a lot of ground to cover. There's so much I believe that the Holy Spirit will have us learn and share together, even regarding this PowerPoint and praying for ourselves. But I also realize that we don't have all the time. And so I'm going to try to begin to compress the rest of what I have, just so I can get as far as possible before we have to wrap up in this season of the year. And so I want us to begin to talk about the things, the factors that impact our asking. But before we do that, I need to mention that you know this already, but I need to reemphasize it. And sometime later on, when we discuss one of the later PowerPoints that we're going to discuss before we wrap this series of teachings up, I'm going to bring up some of these things that I'm about to say here right now. But I want to say them now because they are important. It's important that I say them here and now, just because we have been talking about asking in prayer, the power and the place of asking. And sometimes, many times I should say, asking is making requests of the Father, like we have already learned. Many times, asking is making requests or articulating our requests, presenting it confidently, having expectation of a favorable response. Yeah. So many times, asking is making requests of the Father. However, there are times, sometimes, asking is making a demand in Jesus' name. Sometimes it's making a demand of a situation. Sometimes it's making a demand of elements. Sometimes it's making a demand of things within our spiritual jurisdiction. Sometimes it's making a demand of Satan himself. So yes, many times asking is making requests of the Father. But it is important that we keep in mind that sometimes asking is not making a request of the Father. Asking is making a demand regarding a situation we're dealing with, making a demand of things in our spiritual jurisdiction, our personal physical beings, our families, our health, finances, our jobs, things that concern us, making a demand of the elements, sometimes elements that affect where we are, what we're doing. Sometimes it's making a demand of spiritual forces and making a demand of Satan himself. So yes, asking a lot of times is making requests of the Father. But keep in mind, and we will talk about this again later, but it bears talking about it, I'm mentioning it now. And in fact, I think I should read a couple of scriptures. Look with me at Acts chapter 3. Let's read just two scriptures. So that I don't want to give too much time to this, but I want you to see this. I want us to just mention this in passing, and hopefully we can touch on it later on in another one of those PowerPoints that we're going to discuss. In Acts chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 6 and 7. This is Peter and John at the gate, beautiful gate, where they, you remember there's that man who was lame from his mother's womb. I don't have the time to read the entire story. We all know this story very well. But I want you to read verses 6 and 7 with me. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Think about that. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you." Because the man was looking for silver and gold. It's nothing wrong with having silver and gold. That's not Peter's point. Peter's point, though, is that's not what he disburses. Hallelujah. No matter how much material benefits you have, no matter how much whatever material or natural privileges we have in our life, the primary thing we disburse to the world around us are spiritual graces. They are spiritual graces which we ourselves carry. And I hope in your life you are making room for the spiritual graces, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon your life. That is what that is. Because think about it. There are people in the world who can disburse more natural things than we can. They are philanthropists, and you know, and we should do our part in doing that as well. But I'm just saying the primary thing that we have been endowed with, that we disburse to our world, that flows out of us by the power of the Holy Spirit, is the anointing, is graces of life. Graces of life. Now, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, listen now. He's using the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. He's making a demand as though Jesus Christ himself was the one making this demand, but he was not making a request of the Father. This was not a request of the Father. He's praying in Jesus' name. He's declaring something in Jesus' name, but it was not a request of the Father. This was making a demand on a situation, making a demand on a physical being, physical status of someone that needed the graces of life that he carried. So he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took the man, the lame man, by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. They responded to the demand. Do you know things respond to the demand that we make? Do you realize you can speak to things and they can respond to the demand that you make? In fact, you remember in Matthew 18:18, where the Lord said, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth will be losing. You are not making requests of the Father when you bind. We are not making requests of the Father when we lose on earth. We are making a demand on things that are around. Do you know circumstances can respond to you when you speak and declare in the name of Jesus? Do you know that? Do you know you carry that grace within you? Do you know your physical life, your circumstances, your family, situations around you, stormy situations, difficulties? Do you know they will respond? Do you realize that Jesus spoke to a storm one time? A storm that the disciples thought was going to kill them and destroy. Jesus got up and spoke to the storm, and the storm responded. He said, peace be still, and immediately the peace of God came. He wasn't praying, he wasn't making a request of the Father. He was making a demand of the storm. So I want you to just keep that in mind. I know you know this, I just don't know that you know how powerful that is. That sometimes we actually come into a place where we make a demand. You can make a demand on the elements, on storms, whether they are spiritual storms or natural storms that are destructive, working around your spiritual jurisdiction. Hallelujah. I don't have time for stories and examples, but I know somebody did so good and taught me this in the early days of my Christian faith, and showed me from the Word of God, showed me from Jesus' example, that sometimes we need to make a demand of the elements. And it does work. It does work. Supernatural things can happen. There can be an orchestration supernaturally when we make a demand of certain things in the name of Jesus. When you make that demand, it's like Jesus himself is speaking there. And those things have to respond. There's another scripture I want you to look at. It's also in Acts. But look at this. The Paul here was not making a request to the Father. He was praying, but he was praying in the name of Jesus, using the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. But he was not making requests of the Father. He was making a demand of spiritual forces and demonic spirits, elements. Look at that story in Acts chapter 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there is such authority in the name of Jesus, folks. There is such power in the name of Jesus. Asking is in its purest form, in its most powerful form, when we ask right, in the name of Jesus. When we ask accurately, using the power of attorney that is in the name of Jesus. But sometimes, we are not making this request of the Father. Sometimes we're making demand. Look at Acts chapter 16 and look at these three verses, verse 16 to 18. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. And it came to pass, this was Paul, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. This was a girl, obviously, that was demonized, walking under the influence of demonic spirits. And she was being used. She was being manipulated and controlled by these demonic spirits. She still had her full consciousness, but she had come to a point in her life where she had sold out to these negative influences in her life. And whether she realized it or not, she was now like a puppet on a string being used by this. Do you know there are things, people like that around our lives? Do you know that? Do you know sometimes there are people like they are like puppets on a string? They've come to a point in their lives where they have actually sold out to the enemy, sold out to demonic spirits. And I'm not trying to sound spooky, and I'm not, this is not supposed to make us go and, you know, because some people see, they see demons in everything. This is not what this is about. Some people will tell you, whoa, I saw this dream. This person has a devil. That one is a witch. That one is a wizard. This one is a... That's not what I'm talking about. Living this scary, spooky life. No, we live a life of authority. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. So we don't see devils in everything. However, the scriptures do teach us that sometimes people are under negative influences, spiritual demonic influences, whether they realize it or not. And that was the case with this young woman here. This damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. That's true. That's true, but they didn't need her creating a distraction and broadcasting it. Verse 17. Say it again. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. We show unto us the way of salvation. Verse 18. And this did she many days. She was beginning. She was messing, getting in the way of what these ministers were trying to do. Under the influence of this divination spirit, Bible tells us. And finally, Paul couldn't take it anymore. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. I command, he made a demand. He wasn't making a request of the Father. He made a demand of that spiritual force, spiritual personality that was operating in the life of that young woman. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I love it. He came out, he responded to the demand that Paul made. Because Paul spoke on the authority of the name of Jesus, using the power of attorney in that name, as though Jesus Christ himself was present and declaring that. And a lot of times, our prayer, our asking, is making a demand using the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. We shouldn't be running around scared. I know some things come up in life that terrify us or bother us or trouble us and concern us, but we shouldn't be running around afraid. We are the righteous. We are bold. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. Remember, one of the things the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was leaving was, in my name, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. It's what Paul was doing here. In my name. He's using the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So do that. Do that. Some things the Lord is not something, oh, but I'm asking the Lord to do some. Some things the Lord is asking you to do something about it. Say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord to just do something else. The Lord is telling you to do something about it. You do something about it. Because you have the authority in the name of Jesus. You have the power of attorney in that name. So you do something about it. Amen. Let's move on. I don't have time and I don't want to get stuck there. It's very easy to get stuck in some of these powerful revelatory principles in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, use the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Ask the Father when you need to in the name of Jesus, using the power of attorney that you have in that name. But remember, sometimes you need to make a demand. Speak to your body. Speak to that situation. Speak to that storm. Whether it's literal or perceived or natural or spiritual. Speak to that storm. Rebuke that demonic spirit. Bind it. Stop it. Tell it, stop. Stand your ground. As a man and woman of faith, use the word of God and use the name of Jesus, the power of attorney that is in that name. And be bold when you do it. And you see, things will respond to you. Change will happen because you spoke them into being. Glory be to God. Amen, amen. Let's talk about factors that impact our asking. It's very important. This is so very important. The factors that impact our asking. Like I said earlier on during this service, yeah, it's important to learn to ask aright. But it is also very important to have the right standing and good standing when we ask. To put ourselves in a position where our asking is effectual, where we are able to receive when we ask. Say, ask, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Where we are able to receive when we ask. And you see, from the word of God, there are a number of things that impact our asking, that put us in a good standing or not so good of a standing, so that our asking is effectual. That's what we want. We want our asking to be effectual. We want the confidence. You read this in a minute. We want the confidence that comes from knowing that our asking is producing answers. We are asking aright, but we are also standing in the right place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love this, what the Lord said. You know, this doesn't apply to everyone. You may have read it, but I want us to walk our way tonight. Learn a few things. The Lord will help us. I won't finish tonight, but I trust God I can finish. Whatever I don't get to tonight, I'll get to next week and then and do the last part of this. The factors that impact our asking, and talk about blessing blockers and wrap up this aspect of asking, this PowerPoint of asking. I trust God, this service and next service, wrap it up so we can move on to our next PowerPoint. But you know, this promise is not to everyone. You know this. And what we want to do with the help of the Holy Spirit is we want to walk our way to a place where this promise obtains in our own lives. We want to walk our way, and you're going to see it from some of the things we're going to read, how this promise actually worked out, how it played out. Because a lot of the stories I'm going to read, many of them are in the Old Testament, but the principles are the same. They're just a shadow, a foreshadowing of what obtained in the New Testament. But the stories are so clear because, you know, in the Old Testament, we're just told all these great stories and all the depth and the details of the stories. It's very easy to see and to understand the principles of the Word of God at work there. So we're going to see some of those. But you and I recognize, we understand, it's not everyone, it's not every believer that can claim this particular promise. And what we want to do with the help of the Holy Spirit is walk our way there where this promise obtains in our own life. Amen. Read it with me in Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65, and look at verse 24. He said, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, before they ask, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, while they are still asking, I will hear." It shall come to pass that before they call, before they ask, I will answer. You know this is not the case for everyone. No matter how many people quote that piece of scripture, you know that does not happen for everyone. It's not because God is a respecter of persons, so he decides, oh, for this one, I'm going to do that, but for the other one, no, I don't like his face, I don't like I don't like her personality, so no, I'll do it for this one, but I won't do it for that one. That's not what happens. You know, God is no respecter of persons. So how come some people enjoy this and many don't? How come this promise right here obtains for many, but many don't? Amen. We've learned about asking right. Yes, we ask right. But how about the standing? How about this promise? It shall come to pass that before they call, before they ask me, I will answer. Don't you love that? Oh, don't you love that? That the Lord said, some people, and it's not based on anything. It's not based on their color, their skin, their nationality. No. We're going to see this from the Word of God. Some people, before they call, you know, some people, before they even ask, the thing comes. And some have to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and nothing. And they quote and they quote and they quote and they quote nothing. But some, before they even ask, the evidence of the answer is there. Amen. He said, before they ask, before they call, I'll answer. While they are yet speaking, while they are yet speaking, while they are yet speaking, you see that? While they are here, they haven't even gotten everything out that they want to ask for. He's already done it. While they are here speaking, are we here? Oh, this is so powerful, folks. We want to walk our way. We want to be one of those people. We want to stand where they stand. What is it about them? What is it? What are they doing? What is it that makes it so for them? That before they call, before they ask, he answers, God answers them. And while they are still speaking, he is already released to them. We want to be there. We want to be one of those. Amen. Amen. Oh, I want to be one of those. Oh, I want to be one of those. Hallelujah. How about you? I said, how about you? Do you? I said, do you now? Do you want to be one of those? Or are you satisfied with being one of those who just ask and ask and ask, the battery runs down, they have to replace the battery, ask and... No! No. We want to stand in the good place. Read this other scripture with me in the New Testament, in 1 John. This is a very powerful piece of scripture. I want you to read this with me. 1 John chapter 3, and let's read from verse 18. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 3, let's read this from verse 18. My little children, 1 John chapter 3 from verse 18, let's read that to verse 22. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's not just love by, let's not just be talking like, you know, let's love indeed. One translation says, let's love indeed. Let's not love just in words. Let's love indeed, he said. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Oh, that is so good. If our heart condemn us not, if there is nothing down there that is making it difficult to have confidence, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. We have confidence. Now look at the next verse. We have confidence towards God. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask. I love that. Whatsoever we ask. Whatsoever. Not qualified. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Look at that. Hallelujah. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Think about that for a minute. We keep his commandments. Of course, the primary commandment he's referring to here, in addition to the other instructions that the Lord gives us at different times in our lives, but this primary instruction, primary commandment, is the commandment of love. It's the commandment of love. But he said, we receive of him whatsoever we ask, because we keep his commandment, and we do those things that are pleasing in his heart. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, herein lies one of the most powerful things that affect our standing when we ask. Notice here, this scripture is not addressing how we ask. It's addressing where we stand when we ask. Who we are when we ask. How God sees us when we ask. So whatsoever we ask of him, we receive. When we obey his instructions, his commandments, and when we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, there are a few things that are pleasing in the sight of God where asking is concerned, and I want us to look at them. I know my time is going, and so I'm going to, like I said earlier on, at the top of the service, some of this I may have to abbreviate. But the Holy Spirit will help us get the points across, right? The Holy Spirit will help us get the points across. There are a number of different things, but I'm zeroing in on three major factors that impact our standing, impact our asking. Three major factors that determine whether in the place of asking, we are pleasing in his sight. Whether that promise in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. Before they ask, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I would have done it. I will hear them. With that promise is fulfilled in us because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We are standing in the right place when in the time of, in a place of asking. When we are asking, we're standing in the right, we have good standing. Our asking is effectual. Not just about whether we are asking right. No, but whether we are standing right. There is asking right and there is standing right. And when there is standing right combined with asking right, it produces all sorts of amazing spiritual, supernatural blessings that nothing can withstand and nothing can withhold. When there is standing right and there is asking right, it's like heaven is unleashed upon God's people. Hallelujah. Isn't that where you like to be? That's where I like to be. Amen. Let's talk about three of these factors that strongly impact our standing when we ask. That strongly impact asking. The very first one that I want us to look at, I have called gifts, sacrificial offerings, and vows. This you find very clearly in scriptures. As difficult as this may be for many people to understand or to appreciate or to accept, your gifts, your sacrificial offerings, and your vows actually give you a good standing and make your asking more effectual. Let me put it very simply. Because of your gifts, that's your gifts, your sacrifices, your gifts to the Lord, your gifts to the things of God, your gifts to things that concern the Lord. Because of your gifts, your sacrificial offerings, and your vows, asking is more effectual. Your prayers have a greater tendency of ascending before the Lord and receiving that favorable response. As opposed to not paying attention to gifts to the Lord, not paying attention to issues of sacrificial offerings, not paying attention to vows, that hinders many times prayers from being answered. Yeah, I know this may be so strange to you. You may never have heard this before, but it's true. Don't take it from me. Take it from the Word of God. Let's look at a few scriptures. This may be so strange to you. Might be, what? We're talking about asking. You're going to talk about sacrificial giving. You're going to talk about gifts and vows. Yes, I am. I'm telling you, go check it out. That the people who are aggressive with their gifts to the kingdom of God, the people who are very committed and very consistent, very faithful with their sacrificial seeds, their offerings, their tithing, their giving to God, the people that are consistent with vows, making vows and keeping those vows, people that are consistent with sacrificial gifts to the things that concern God and concern the things of God, they have a greater tendency and likelihood of their prayers being answered. Those people, many of them, Isaiah 65 verse 24, Isaiah 65 verse 24 addresses. These are our gifts, our sacrificial offerings, our vows. They actually rise up before the Lord like Noah's sacrifice when he made that sacrifice in Genesis chapter 8. Hallelujah. They do. They do. You do remember maybe a couple of services ago, or maybe last service, we talked about Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah? When he turned his face to the wall and the prophet said to him, you're going to die. He turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, remember what I did, what I gave. Remember what I did. And when he said that, the Lord immediately, come on now. What is it that was different? The prophet came and told him, you have a limited time, get your house in order. The man faced the wall and said, Lord, remember Remember what I did, what I gave, my gifts, my sacrifices, my vows, my labor. Remember. And immediately, there was nothing else. Immediately. In fact, the Bible says, before, while he was still praying, the Lord called, the prophet had not left his home, his palace. The prophet Isaiah, who came to give him the message, had not left his palace. The Lord said to him, go back and tell him, I've added 15 more years. See, that is Isaiah. That's Isaiah 65 verse 24 in action right there. Pleasing. As 1 John 3, 22 right there. Doing those things pleasing in his sight gives greater credence, greater strength and standing to our asking. This is one of the biggest things many believers don't realize. You can have one believer come in and ask for one thing. You can have another believer come in and ask for exactly the same thing. And for one of them, they have to ask and ask and ask and ask. And for the other one, even before they finish asking, the Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. So something is impacting their standing in asking. Whether you realize this or not, whether you have been taught this or not, whether you understand how this works or not, whether it's your mind is struggling to agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. It's the truth in the Word of God. Read with me Psalm 20. Let's go to Psalm 20. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Psalm 20, let's read from verse 1. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. Send you help from the sanctuary. Strengthen you out of Zion. Remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble. Send you help from the sanctuary. The God of Jacob defend you. Strengthen you out of Zion. Remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. That means when the Lord remembers your offerings, when the Lord accepts your burnt sacrifice, he gives your asking, he gives your ability to receive from the Lord, he gives you better standing, likelihood to receive, to be heard. The Lord remember. This is certainly Hezekiah. The Lord remember when he said it. Not like the Lord forgot before, but he now reminded, Lord, remember me. Remember, remember. And immediately, this, I add you 15 more years. But what else was different? Nothing. The Lord just remembered. Remember all your offerings. And accept your burnt sacrifice. There's so many believers who pay very little attention to these things we're talking about tonight. They'll say, those things don't really matter. God hears whatever he wants to hear. And whatever he doesn't want to hear, he just, that is not true. All other things being equal, every other requirement being fulfilled, being observed, your offering impacts your asking and your receiving. Your burnt sacrifices, your gifts, your vows, they do impact them. You say, God, verse 4, God grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your counsel. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Know now that I, the Lord, save my anointed one. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. One of the reasons why our gifts, our sacrificial gifts, our vows, one of the reasons why they impact our asking and receiving is because they demonstrate our trust. they do demonstrate our trust. Trusting God makes us give more attention to our sacrifices. And when our burnt sacrifices that we place on the altar, our gifts, sacrificial offerings, when we place them on the altar and they rise up before the Lord smells a sweet aroma. Even before you ask, things begin to happen. You remember that? Noah, he made that sacrifice. He had not even asked for anything. The Lord simply smelled the aroma of his sacrifice, and the Lord began to make a covenant. What Noah had not asked. Now, Noah wanted that. Noah desired that because they had gone through this terror, this horrible experience of non-stop rain and the whole earth being destroyed by that rain. He and his family and all these animals locked up in that ark. When he came out, he said, wow, we don't ever want to experience this again, ever again, he said. But before he even presented it to the Lord, he just set up an altar and offered up sacrifices. You know that in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. The Lord said, I will never again do it. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not say. The Lord made a new covenant with this man because of his burnt sacrifice, his sacrificial offering. Your offering gets God's attention. Hallelujah. Your offering gets God's attention. So you remember in Hannah, we've read about Hannah before. I don't want to go back and read the whole thing. But you remember her when she was praying in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Remember, she was praying in bitterness of soul. She wept sore. She did all of these things and all of that. And then, when she vowed, in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, Lord, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaiden and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. When she made that vow, it broke something. It immediately elevated her in her standing. She made that vow. And of course, she came back and fulfilled that vow. And some people make vows, they never pay them. They make vow after vow after vow and never fulfill them. And in Job, let's close this out. Our time is almost up. Let's close this out. In Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Job chapter 22. Let's read just a couple of verses. Verse 26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face unto God. Then you will make your prayer unto him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows, 26 and 27. Then you will make your prayer unto me, he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. Then shall you also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Somebody said, oh, but I don't really think that makes a lot of sense, that God is partial towards my gifts, my vows. Yes, maybe it doesn't make sense, but it makes spirit. It makes scripture. Listen to what Job said again. He says, Then you will have your delight in the Almighty. You will be pleasing to him. You will lift up your face unto God. You will make your prayer unto him, and he will hear you. And you will pay your vows. And then you will decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. And the light shall shine upon your ways. Let's close out here tonight. Let's close out here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Listen to me, child of God. If you are someone who has lived a life of offerings to the Lord, a life of sacrificial giving to the Lord, a life of constantly one thing after the other, making vows and pledges and doing things that please the heart of God in his kingdom. If you are that person that has been aggressive with your commitment, your financial commitment, your material support of the kingdom of God, this service was for you tonight. There are things that are available to you in the spirit. And I pray and I hope that your eyes were open to see that tonight. Tonight, I want you to make bold, and I want you to say, just like Hezekiah said, Lord, remember my offering. Just like the psalmist prayed, the Lord will remember. I want you tonight to begin to use your life of sacrificial giving, your life of pledging and supporting and giving and sowing. And I want you to call God's attention to it and begin in the name of Jesus to thank him, begin to receive things that you've asked for, the blessings of the vow, and then there are things you need to decree, begin to decree them tonight. There are things that you need to ask for, begin to ask for them tonight. Now, if you are someone who hasn't done that, you don't really have that standing. But this service was designed for you to have that standing. You can change it tonight by immediately committing to be that way, by immediately becoming an aggressive giver, sacrificial offering person. Amen. An aggressive sower of seed. An aggressive, someone who constantly makes vows and pledges to support the things of the kingdom of God. And the Lord will look upon you favorably tonight. Father, we honor you. We thank you, God, because tonight you do remember our offerings. You do remember seeds that we have sown over the years, year after year after year after year. How we've constantly poured out of our lives, giving of our best to you to support the work of your kingdom, Lord, to support your ministers, your ministries, your missionaries, to build the kingdom of God. We ask you to remember our offering tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody needs to hear this. You know, there was even a Mary who went and bought this expensive perfume and broke it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus said, what she did will be an eternal memorial. That is, every time that act of sacrifice is remembered, heaven will release something upon her. Heaven will release something. She's still reaping the benefits of that in heaven today. Oh, Father, we thank you. We receive all that you have. We receive the blessings. We receive the outpouring from heaven. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.